you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with us to the book of Hosea. I think I said that right. The last time I preached out of this, I kept saying Hosea. But it's Hosea. My wife corrected me. Chapter 5 of Hosea in the Old Testament. Every year I'm excited for Christmas, and I'm even more excited about when we do the Advent. The 4 weeks that leads up to Christ's birth are a time of expectant waiting, and we prepare for His homecoming and our second coming with Him, and I cherish them, as well as you heard the wonderful music today. Advent comes from the Latin word coming, and even though we know the Christmas story very well each year, it's still a time to reflect on His coming back to us, just as the Old Testament people that lived in the Old Testament were always looking forward to His coming. We look forward to Jesus' second coming. And during those remaining weeks of Advent that we have at Prayer of Faith, we invite you to reflect on peace, which will be today, as well as joy next week, and love, and of course Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ came into the world on a holy night, a peaceful night, and He alone is the source for our peace. Because we live in a world that often feels hurried along, and we live in a world that has hurting in it, and we often run into people that have some hopeless times in their lives. But instead, we draw close to our Heavenly Father, and we cling to the peace that He desires for us to have with Him, because that's what it's all about. Having a relationship with God is to have that peace and to subside that conflict in your life. And that peace hinges on making right and wrong decisions in your life that we make along the way. Kind of like the young man that was promoted to an important position in his company, and he'd never really dreamed he'd have that type of position, much less at a young age as he was at. And so he went to see the old timer in the company, one that worked there the most, and he said, "Sir, I was wondering if you could give me some advice. I'm new here and just wanted to kind of start off with things right." And so as soon as he said that, the old-timer shot back. He said, he just said two words. He said, "Right decisions." Well, the young man had kind of hoped for a bit more than this. So he said, "Well, thank you." He said, that's really helpful to me, and I appreciate that. But could you kind of be a little bit more specific? How do I make the right decisions?" And the old man simply said, "Experience." The young man said, "Well, that's just kind of sort of my being here." He says, "I don't have really much experience here." He says, "How do I get it?" And the old man replied, "Wrong decisions." So, this morning I'd like to speak to you on a way that God draws us to have peace with Him through right decisions. And sometimes He goes through the way of the moth, the eagle, and the lion, which is the title of the message I'd like to bring with you today. In Hosea chapter 5, first part of verse 12 in Hosea chapter 5 says, "Therefore, I'm like a moth to Ephraim." You know, we all know what a moth is. A moth is just kind of like a little insect, kind of flutters about. I'm sure you all are familiar with a moth. Whenever you've been outside, one will come flying around, and it's really no big deal. Sometimes it may even light on your arm or hand. It just kind of flutters about you. You can swat at it and it'll go away. Maybe it'll come back, but it's gentle. A moth is very gentle and it's tender, and it's really no threat to you or I. Except maybe if you let it get in the closet, it may munch on your clothes, but basically it's really no threat. And the worst it can maybe do to you is possibly get in your hair or flutter about you for a second, surprising you, catching you off guard. But all you have to do is just wave your hand and it'll go away. And this is the only time in Scripture where God says that I will come like a moth. I will come gentle and tender. And then Scripture says in verse 8 of that same, or chapter 8 rather, of Hosea, verse 1, a couple of pages over, He says that I'll come as an eagle. Now there's a big difference between the wingspan of a moth and the wingspan of an eagle, a big difference. There's a big difference between the potential power of an eagle with its sharp beak and its dangerous claws that can rip you to pieces, and then that of a moth who just has this little innocent flutter here or there. And when you look at it, you look around all of a sudden and you don't know where the moth went. And then lastly, back in Hosea chapter 5, verse 14, he says, I'll come to them as a lion. And so that's a stronger degree of God trying to get our attention with each time that we don't listen. And I want to speak to you today about this amazing ability of discernment to pick up on the voice of God that we'll experience. And when we do pick up on His voice, that we'll experience this peace in our lives. And there are things that we need to learn in our life concerning listening to God and the peace that He wants for our life in this troubled world that we live in. Hearing the voice of God. The leading and the gentle, tender leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because God's number one choice, always in dealing with us, is to come as a moth. Hosea said that he wants to come gently and tenderly, because we're in a grace dispensation period now. And God is really gentle with us now. And He's speaking gently to those who will hear Him. Come to me, he says. I love you. And it's just a little flutter. It's just a little impression that he wants to make in our lives. In the book of James, chapter 5, 11, especially in the old King James Version, it reads, And I've seen the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, that's an amazing verse, how he is very pitiful and tender of mercy. There's this side of God that's tender and gentle, that He's even pitiful. Now, some of your Bibles may read, the newer versions may read, compassion. But that He'll come to you in a most pitiful way or compassionate way. It's almost as if God is beckoning, is pleading with us to be with Him, to love Him as He loves us, and to give us His peace in our life that He desires for us to have. And James, the book of James says it's a pitifulness to the goodness and the mercy and the kindness of God. And yes, He is a mighty God, a strong, all-powerful God, but it also says there's a pitiful or compassionate side, which doesn't really seem to fit the majesty and the might of God. But then there's this particular feature of His grace. On one hand, we have the way of the moth and peace and mercy there. But then on the other hand, we have the judgment of God that is just as severe as the mercy of God. And God says that if you don't hear me when I try to come to you with the gentleness of the moth, full of kindness, that calls you to my peace through the way of the moth, he says, then I've got this eagle over here that's ready, and it's perched to fly. The eagle has sharp claws, and it can swoop down with its strength and speed. And he says, I'm going to get your attention one way or the other. And then he says, if the eagle doesn't get your attention, then God says, I promise you that I've got some lions I can release, which can cause a lot of great harm in your life, spiritually speaking, and perhaps even rip you to pieces if necessary. But he'll get your attention. But to me, the most drastic step is the last point. The last point where God says, if those don't work, the gentleness of the moth, the sharpness of the eagle, the abruptness of a lion, he says, I'll withdraw myself. Verse 15 of Hosea chapter 5. I will draw myself to my own place, in which basically in essence is divine abandonment. In other words, God says, I'll let you have your way over my will and my way. And what I'll do then is I'll just go back to my place and I'll watch you. I'll sit back and I'll watch you, what you wouldn't listen to my voice to do. And until you come to the end of yourself, and you come to find me where I am, after I pursued you and pursued you, only for you to continually say, no, no, not now, not yet, no. Then that to me is the most dangerous thing that God can do to you and I. And that's when he says, I'll give in to your will over my will for your life. It's the most dangerous thing that can happen to you. Some people don't understand that God is giving us the way of the moth. But if you continually neglect the peace of God has for your life through the way of the moth and the way of the eagle and the way of the lion, then God will withdraw himself and sit in his place and watch your train wreck happen in your life. Until you can come to the place of humility, and then you'll come find God. And he'll be waiting. And he'll give you that peace. The will of God, though, is to speak softly, with great and gentle flutters that hardly go unnoticed, that's tender and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. His voice is there to kind of guide us. But if the moth doesn't get to you, then his voice gets stronger and he sends the eagle. And if he's still unable to get to you, then the peace that he wants to have for your life, whether it may be the things that you're doing or the way that maybe you're treating people or the people that you may be hanging out with or bad choices that you're making, at some point he'll begin to release the lion. And the lion will rip and he'll devour and he'll begin to tear your life up bit by bit. Not because God hates you, but because he knows what is best for your life. Because his first choice always is the way of the moth. With that gentleness and that tenderness, speaking with soft flutters of his voice in our lives. And when I think of how tender that his word is at first, and immediately we respond and say, yes, Holy Spirit. I correct that attitude. I correct that choice I made. I'm sorry, God. That was just me giving in to the flesh. And then God is so good, he blesses us, and we experience the wonderful peace that he has for us in our life. I mean, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. God put all the trees in the garden that there was, and he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he just wrapped it in the gentleness of the word, and he says, don't touch that tree. Don't eat of it. Wasn't any protection around it. Wasn't any fence there to keep him from going there. He just used the way of the moth and he just simply said, don't touch that. You can have all of these other trees here in the garden, but don't eat of that one. And then, of course, Adam and Eve did exactly what God said not to do. And then the Bible said that there was an angel with a flaming sword. And this is the lion. When you don't listen to the moth, you don't listen to the eagle, then God sends the lion. Driving them out. Out of all of they could have had there in the garden. But his first approach is always the way of the moth. David put it like this in Psalm 16:6. He said, my lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. He said, God, you have drawn these lines or boundaries around my life, and you put perimeters or barriers for my sake. And you said, I can go this far, but don't go any further. And he put in all of us these scripture said pleasant places, and as long as we stay within those perimeters, then he gives us the greenest pastures that we'll ever see. And he supplies us with every need that we'll have. But what happens is, of course, we get discontent, want to go over to the other side. We even try to keep crossing to the other side. God says, if you won't listen to me, then continue on. And if we refuse and continually refuse the lines of God in our life, the perimeters and the barriers that he sets there for our safety, then the devil will release the lions on the other side. But I'd rather have the lines of God in my life in a blessed place rather than the lions around in my life, devouring and ripping my life to pieces. Yes, we have some restrictions in our lives, but it's in pleasant places in our life. Everything on the other side will devour and destroy and kill and wipe out our life if necessary. But God is a good God. God is a good God because he keeps us safe. And he keeps us in the lines with the umbrella that he has of authority in our life. And it's just a beautiful thing just to be gently checked. It's a beautiful thing to be gently led rather than pulled all the time. It's a beautiful thing to be so sensitive and tender that the Holy Spirit can just come in and flutter like a moth about something in our life. If something goes against God, the Holy Spirit flutters and you get this gentle check in your spirit. That's a powerful thing. That's the hardest God will ever have to judge you, if you're sensitive to the leading He gives. And it's a beautiful thing to be gently checked. Because sometimes we think we're getting away with sin. Bible says in Romans 2:4, He says that the goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord, drives men to repentance. Anytime that we're doing something wrong and nothing bad is happening to us, don't ever think that God's saying to you, it's okay, and he's winking at you. I know my word says it's bad, but you keep on doing it because you're special. I know a lot of times we think that. We're special, so God's going to overlook this one. But God never in His Word does that. Anytime that you don't receive the judgment of God for what you know is blatant sin or just wrong, it's not God saying, it's okay. What it is it's God's goodness. Because He covers us with so much grace that He's holding back things in our lives that we don't even know, can't even see or think about. He's holding back the Red Sea from caving in on our lives. And He's giving us more time, thinking that at some point that we're going to be so overwhelmed to see how good God has been with us, and that He could have done otherwise, but He held back, holding us and drawing us to repentance. That's what it's supposed to do. Not to give us a license to keep on and on and on, repenting and repeating, repenting and repeating. Ahab, who was the king of Israel in the Old Testament, he gets way out of line. He goes crazy. Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30, that he did more wicked than any king before him. That's a pretty bad king when you have that kind of reputation in the Bible. He was crazy. He was the worst. But still, even at that, God sends the way of the moth to Ahab. He sends it through Elijah, the prophet. And Elijah meets up with King Ahab in 1 Kings 17. And he says to repent. You need to repent or there's not going to be any more rain. There's going to be a famine in the land. Then the prophet, after he said that to Ahab, he just leaves. Just like a moth does. While Ahab never realized that God was giving him the most easiest path to take. But yet he refused to yield to the way of the moth. And the next thing you know, in 1 Kings chapter 21, the prophet returns, Elijah. And he says, thus saith the Lord, that the dog will lick up your blood from your chariot. Just like you slew Naboth because you wanted that vineyard so bad. The same dogs that saw you slay him will lick up your blood. The Bible says in 1 Kings 21:27 that Ahab was so shaken at these words that Elijah said, because now the eagle has flown in and the lion's over here growling. And the King James Version says that Ahab walked about very softly. He repented. He walked about softly, tiptoeing around God because he knew it was getting severe from this prophet, what he had just said. And every time he heard a dog bark, you know he had to jump. But what happens next is, you know, there's just something about the human heart that still seeks to want to do its own way and desires. But in 1 Kings chapter 22, some false prophets come to him and they said, thus saith the Lord, you don't need to worry about anymore. Everything's good. Go ahead and do your thing, King, because God is going to be with you. And the Bible says that no sooner than he listened to the prophet that he went out in battle. He thought he'd go out there and dressed up disguised so they wouldn't recognize him as a king. But it seems weird that an arrow flies out of the air and finds that one crack in his armor. And he gets wounded in battle. He gets wounded so bad that he ends up bleeding to death in his own chariot. And then, of course, you know who came to lick up his blood, the dogs. 1 Kings 22:37 says, so the king died and he was brought to Samaria and they buried him there. And they washed his chariot in the pool of Samaria, which was where the prostitutes bathed. And the dogs ended up licking up his blood. But for Ahab, the peace of God started out like a moth. But he ended up with a lion. And you can see this same pattern all throughout the Bible. I mean, King Saul, he stood head and shoulders above all men. In fact, he for Israel, he did so many great things. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 28 that Saul slew all of the witches and he just ran them out of the country. Ran all of them out except for one, the witch of Endor. And he visited her to find out if he was still in the will of God, because right after Samuel had rejected him of being king from God, he was no longer sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord was leading him because of his disobedience. And so he decided to search out another voice. Saul had ran out every witch in the land except the main witch, because she was the most powerful witch, the witch of Endor. Kind of like the man who kept getting up in church testifying whenever they would have public prayer in church, and they would ask, does anybody have a prayer request? And this man would always stand up and he'd say, oh, yes, God. I want God to remove the cobwebs of the devil from my mind. Just get them out of there. Clear them out. And in every service, this man, he would stand up during a prayer request and he'd say, just remove the cobwebs from my mind, O Lord. Well, this kept on and on. And finally, an old senior citizen saint stood up and said, shouted in the congregation, O Lord, just kill that spider. Thank God for senior saints. Well, there was no need for Saul to run the witches out of the land if you're going to keep the main one there. And for Ahab, it was the false prophet. But now there's Saul who's listening to a witch. But it was the gentle leading of the Holy Spirit at first. And when the story is over with Saul, he ends up committing suicide and falling on his own sword. That's the lion, because he wouldn't listen to the way of the moth. You know, there's no end to what people will do in order to get that peace in their life. I mean, the enemy can become so overwhelming in your life sometimes. And you'll do, some people go at no ends to get that peace, to get rid of that in their life, just so they can have peace. This is just a simple message today. I think about Judas and how gentle that Jesus was with Judas, and how kind Jesus was. And Jesus, he knew all things, even calling him friend on the night of his betrayal. He came to betray Jesus and came up to kiss him on the cheek. And Judas ends up kissing the door of heaven, but ends up in hell. And when Judas came and Jesus told Judas, friend, do what you do quickly. Even calling Judas friend, because Judas still had that potential to follow the way of the moth. But if you won't listen, then I will draw my presence, my divine presence, and I'll let you go and do your thing if you insist on going. And you'll trample through the roadblocks of the eagle, and you trample through the roadblocks of the lion, with the things being torn apart in his life. And if that's not enough, the Bible said that Judas went out and he hung himself because he couldn't find that peace within himself. And the way of the moth is among us. And during Advent, when we talk about peace, it's specifically emphasized. But the peace of God is all the time, not just during the holiday season. There are things that the Holy Spirit's first choice and method is to send them off, especially when you hear the word preached. I mean, it's just a flutter. It's just a gentle voice to say, hey, it's time to forgive. Hey, it's just time to lay that down. Hey, it's time to stop running with those people that lead you astray. Hey, come back to me. What sends chills to me is if the way of the moth and the eagle and the lion doesn't work. I'll read it again in Hosea 5:15. Hosea 5:15 says, I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. It's a scary thought that God will withdraw himself to his own place. So let's be sensitive and let's follow that tenderness, and that little flutter through the way of the moth. Because the world's going to come at you through different ways, many forms of peace, offering peace in your life through self-satisfaction or pleasure or even positive thinking. Many believe that a lot of time peace is defined by the absence of trouble in their life. They refuse to face the problems in their life, believing that this is really the true way to finding peace, is if you just don't acknowledge that they're there. You can choose to have true peace. Because peace begins where expectations end. Peace begins where expectations end. I mean, when we think of Christmas, we often have the shopping that we need to do, or the gifts that we need to buy, or all of the Christmas parties we need to attend in the weeks leading up to Christmas, or the relatives maybe that we're going to have to endure. You didn't tell me that they were coming. And so we have this expectation to do Christmas. And while Christmas can be a stressful time with all the things that you need to get accomplished, just remember the God of peace. Slow down a little bit. Light some candles in your house. Sing some Christmas carols. They even have a radio station that has Christmas carols on all day. Smile at children. You might surprise them. Be gentle with others. And through that gentleness, and just as our Savior is with us, we too will discover the peaceful presence and His peaceful presence in our life. And today, if you don't know that peaceful presence, you can. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, we'd love to pray with you at the end of service. If you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for encouragement, whatever it is, to get that peace with God in your life. Maybe you've heard the fluttering today in your life. I don't know. Maybe you've been hearing it for weeks and months. And have just been dashing that hand away like, get out of here. But God's been trying to speak to you. Please join me in prayer. Father, we come in this season with every heart that should be here and happy and light to be in your presence as we sing songs to you. But many of us still are struggling, Father, with the heaviness of life and burdens that can just seem to steal that peace right out of our hearts. And we come today because we need your peace, Jesus. We need that peace. And we confess that our hearts are too often filled with wonder of a different kind. We wonder if the bills are going to be paid. We're wondering when that rest will finally come in our life. And this Advent, please make us more aware of the way of the moth in our lives, Father. Make it real in our hearts to hear that fluttering that you have, that peace that you want to give, because we've never needed peace more now. Peace in you. Thank you for your gift, Jesus. Emmanuel, the Word of God. And we not only need your peace, Father, we crave it in our hearts. And you've promised rest for the weary, and you promise victory for the battle scarred, and peace for the anxious, and acceptance of the brokenhearted, Father. Not just at Advent, but all times during this year. Your name is still called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Emmanuel, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, Father. And we know that peace on earth can only come when our hearts find peace with you, even if it's with the way of the moth, and even if that eagle's swooping down, we still can find peace in you because you desire to have peace with us. You are still our peace. You are still Lord of Lords, and you are still King of Kings, and we celebrate you, Lord. We celebrate you, Lord, this Christmas as it approaches, as well as always, Father, for you are the God of peace. And all the church said,